I've been a primary author of two of the largest tax cuts in the history of our state.
Let the eagle soar.
Son, go outside and dust yourself off. And when you feel good again, come back in and talk to me. We know what they would have done because we know what they did.
Payroll. I've been there. Payroll.
Corrupt career politicians.
What I am trying to do to simply make tomorrow just a little bit better than today.
Welcome to the Hashtag MoLedge podcast, joined by Becky Lohman. Glad to see you here in the state capitol.
Yeah, it's good to see everyone after elections.
We are recording this from the state capitol after the historic elections that elected Republicans from the president to dog catcher and everywhere in between. And we're getting to do it from Representative Jack Bonden's office. Representative Bonden, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much for having me, Scott, and it's good to be back with you here at the Missouri Capitol.
I have to say, you're one of the more optimistic Republicans I talked to throughout the campaign cycle, but did you really think you'd elect this many Republicans?
I will say that I had a very good feeling, especially across the last couple weeks headed into the election. I think we.
But you were optimistic before then, though. I give you a little credit there.
I certainly was. I was very hopeful. Optimism came in the last couple of weeks, and we started to see that landslide come through. And I am extremely optimistic and extremely thrilled to be able to walk back into the building with a 117-member Republican majority here in the Missouri House.
Let's start at the top, Becky. When you when the polls closed last Tuesday, did you believe you would ever say President Donald J. Trump?
You know, I didn't. And the last 2 weeks, you had asked me what my friend mix looked like. And apparently, I have a lot of closet
Trump supporters. You have a lot of liars.
Liars is what I've learned. And I've also realized that I know nothing. And I'm just kind of going to go back to the drawing board about what I think is right and wrong.
I think that's an interesting thing. I mean, at the presidential level, I mean, Cass County was big for Trump.
Absolutely.
I mean, most of Missouri was.
You know, there are so many people that for several years now, maybe approaching a decade, have felt like they are working harder and harder to make ends meet. They just want to wake up every morning. They want to go to work. They want to live with their family in a comfortable way, and they want to have a little bit of extra money in their pocket for the collection plate and church on Sunday. And those people came out in huge numbers for Donald Trump. And I think that that's what you see across the state, even in some places that we typically, as the Republicans, have had a little bit of a struggle.
Republicans have had an amazing role nationwide, but especially in Missouri, and they've ran a lot against Barack Obama. There's a two-pronged attack. There was Obamacare and Obama. Looks like you guys took that very successful strategy and have Obamacare and Hillary. Now you have President Trump. Now if things don't happen, what do you think Donald Trump can do to make 2018 a good year for Republicans?
To make 2018 a good year for Republicans, I think he needs to fulfill the promises that he's made to the people. I think people gave him an overwhelming mandate, particularly here in the state of Missouri. And the biggest shame would be to walk away 2 years from now and feel like we didn't achieve the things that we had promised the folks.
All right, prediction time on Donald Trump. Becky Lohman, does he build the wall?
I've heard him say it's a half fence, half wall, so I'm going to say yes in some capacity.
Is there something that's a wall?
There's some sort of obstruction. I don't know what it looks like.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like the arm barrier going into a parking lot, something like that. But I think he builds something.
Representative, does he build a wall?
I think he will build a wall. I think that was part of the mandate. And I think that that you will see some sort of physical barrier to monitor the people who come in and out of our country.
What does it hurt? What's building a wall hurt?
I think it hurts illegal immigration.
I'm not planning to illegally immigrate to Mexico. if I'm gonna immigrate to Mexico in the next 4 years, I'll probably apply through the Mexican government. I don't plan to sneak across the border to Mexico, so it doesn't really impact my life at all.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I think that for the people who have temporary work visas, things like that, this is not a concern. I think that it does strike fear in those that are illegally crossing back and forth across our border. But the people of America have spoken on that issue, and they are sick and tired of our government not obeying its own laws on the border.
Do you believe Representative Eade deports 11 million people?
I do not believe that he will immediately deport 11 million people. I do believe his sincerity in trying to locate those that are criminal repeat offenders in our country and make sure that they are in some way, shape, or fashion removed and removed in a very quick manner from the United States.
But you do believe he deports people in mass?
No, I don't think that happens. I think we're going to start to see a conversation about how we can get these people either legal, or if they don't follow the rules that we're going to put in place, then perhaps at some point in time we send them back. But I don't think it's going to be a light switch that we wake up tomorrow and send all these people packing.
As a person that was one of the first Trump supporters in the state, I've noticed some differences in him. I think initially in the Republican nominating process, he was wildcat and just spitting stuff out right and left. Then once it looked like he was going to win, I think even he was surprised, and he kind of tightened it up. And then it went after the early part of the general election, I think he was spitting things out, thinking he would never have to make good on them. And then I think when that second Comey letter came out that said, we're opening this investigation up again, I think even he realized, oh, damn, I may be president of the United States. And I think he tightened up some of the stuff,
absolutely.
It looked to me like.
I agree with you. And I give great great kudos to Kellyanne Conway.
Sure.
The first woman to run a presidential
exactly.
candidate.
Big time kudos.
How sweet it was.
Glass ceiling,
was.
Right?
And she did bust that glass ceiling as far as being the first woman to run a successful presidential campaign. But you could tell once she took the helm, she sort of has been given the moniker of the Trump Whisperer. She was the person that could talk to him and get him to stay on message and get him to concisely and clearly spell out his agenda. And I just give her all the credit in the world.
I've seen she wasn't chief of staff. Why would she want to be? She can make... I mean, if you're running for office, don't you just say, I'll pay you whatever. Just do for me what you... If you could make that guy president, then you could surely make me governor of wherever.
You can do anything.
Yeah,
you can do anything.
We got to give a hat tip, though, to our sponsors that we think... just on my list of people right up with Kellyanne Conway, I'll put the St. Louis Chamber of Commerce, the Carpenters Union, and Republic Services. One of those would thank them for sponsoring the podcast. This week, live from the state capitol, our normal in-session digs. Representative, let's talk Missouri. Roy Blunt clearly had a tough race. He had the top of the ticket saying, drain the swamp. The bottom of the ticket saying, they're all corrupt insiders. Roy Blunt came through, and it had to feel pretty sweet because I'll say this, Jason Kander made the race extremely personal. I think Jason Kander talked a lot more about Roy Blunt's family than about Gussie or Millie and the Fawn family. And so I think it must have felt, I doubt the senator thought it would be such a tough re-election, but it must have been some personal gratification when someone's just targeted your family for 6 months.
I would suspect so. I would suspect so. I think that Senator Blunt really did kick it into high gear, and he showed the massive apparatus that he has around this state. There are people that probably could not have survived that onslaught, but the strength of the Blunt coalition in the state of Missouri is still very strong, and I think a great part of that is the fact that people wanted that check on the Supreme Court,
yeah.
and people thinking that there's a chance that we would have a Hillary Clinton presidency all the way up through the
election
exit
day,
polls
yeah.
on Election Day, and they wanted to make sure that we had a person from Missouri that was able to stand up and fight back against the presumable Clinton
administration. I think Scalia helped Blunt. I think Scalia's passing made it more real to people. Becky, what did you think? I mean, the Kander campaign was known for two things. One, that outstanding ad, putting the gun together, and two, a relentless attack on a senator's family. Do you think he might have done a little bit better to focus on the Lohman family and not so much on the Blunt family?
No, I think the Lohman family, he would have crashed and burned on that one. Much, much harder. I can guarantee that. You know, it's interesting. We've talked about it before. It isn't so much Democrats versus Republicans as insiders versus outsiders and the mm-hmm. haves and the have-nots. And you didn't really see that play out in this race. He has attacked Senator Blunt over and over about being the career politician, kind of the shining example of what some folks might think is a career politician, and he just came up short. So obviously his message was missing in some capacity.
I thought Jason Kander ran a hell of a race. I think you can't say enough good things about Jason Kander, the politician. I guess personally, I understand why he did what he did. It seemed a little bit crass when you're almost exclusively bashing a guy's family. I think Jason Kander has a history, but has a future in politics in the state of Missouri. But I thought it was interesting. He sent out an email after the election, just kind of postmortem to supporters, and he threw a line in there I thought was interesting about, we didn't win this election trying to be Republican light. We didn't try to be moderates. Well, I think the path to Jay Nixon's being elected was through being a moderate. I think Claire McCaskill's first election to the U.S. Senate was based on a lot of rural Missouri, being from Texas County. I think the politicians I've seen in Missouri that are successful Democrats have traditionally been moderates.
Well, I think that that's correct. I think this is an election, though, that sort of bucked the trend. I mean, there was just such a massive wave that running on the typical Democrat ideas was not a winning platform this year. There was no way to be the traditional straight line progressive liberal and win in the state of Missouri on Tuesday. That just could not happen. And so I think maybe that's what lended itself, Scott, to some of the focus on the more personal attacks as opposed to a policy discussion.
That makes sense.
The policy discussion probably wouldn't have helped Jason.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, I never thought about it that way, but I'm like, I understand why he did what he did. It seemed a little unseemly later. Let's talk one more thing while in these federal races. Becky, our last poll showed Greitens up a point. He ended up winning by 5. Our last poll showed Donald Trump up 12. He won by 19. Do you think there were people that decided to vote late that weren't in any polling model? Or do you think there were people that just would not admit they were for Donald Trump but were for him the whole time?
I think they were people that would not admit they were for Donald Trump but they were for him the whole time. That's what I think. I don't think the polls were necessarily wrong in the sense that people probably were speaking. That's what they were getting. People were saying, I'm for Hillary Clinton. But I found out that I know a lot of closeted Trump supporters, and I think what we've seen on social media is just an all-out assault on people that vote for Trump. And you have to kind of separate the things that he said versus why people voted for him. I don't think people voted for him because they think he's going to hurt women or hurt minorities. I think they voted for him because they are sick of the status quo and they can excuse those other things in hopes that he is going to make a significant difference of what we've seen.
Jack Bunnan, you were on the doors. You actually got to see real Missourians that a lot of folks that even listen to this podcast don't get to see to the extent you did.
Absolutely.
Were there people, were the polling models wrong? Was there a wave at the end of people that decided to change their mind? Or were people for Donald Trump the whole damn time and just didn't want to tell anybody?
You know, Scott, I think it's sort of an all of the above. I do think that some of the late deciders did break for Trump. When they were faced with the last couple days that they were an undecided voter and they wanted to remain with the status quo or they wanted change, I think those voters broke for change. But I will say, Scott, on the doors, there was a lot of times that I would go up and I would start talking about politics, start talking about Republicanism to people, and they were very guarded about what they were going to share with you, because being a Trump supporter had become so stigmatized, not only being a supporter of some of his policies, but even to be a part of that movement became stigmatized, because the Clinton campaign, I will say, did a very good job of vilifying President
Trump. Was it the Clinton campaign or the mainstream media, or is there any difference?
Well, I think that the email and the WikiLeaks proved that there was certainly a lot of collusion between the two, and most of them were singing from the same hymnal.
Let's talk about the state of Missouri. Governor Eric Greitens. I'll have to admit,
wow,
I didn't see it until probably a couple weeks out. It looked to me like Eric Greitens raised probably the best fundraiser in the history of the state, had the money, and had ran the campaign to put himself in position to, when Donald Trump took off, Eric Greitens took off right with him.
I certainly agree with you there. And we could see those poll numbers, Scott, across your polling that you did in the state, which was some of the most accurate polling in the state. We saw that start to grow and start to build, mm-hmm. and that wave came. And as you point out, even the best polling in the state underestimated the size of the wave by a couple of points. But I do think that closed toward the end. That was not a race that I would think people would call 3 or 4 weeks out as being as big of a win as it was.
It looks to me like, and Becky, we talked about this, to me, what you can tell from the last 2 weeks of polling is if the race is within 3 or 4 points, I'd rather be the person that has the momentum than the person that's winning by a point or two that doesn't have the momentum.
Absolutely. I mean, it's the comeback story, and when you hit your stride at the right point in time, that matters. He kind of did the same thing in the primary. We saw him kind of trail behind a little bit and surge right when it mattered, and so he has a knack for that. He, you know, is either great at timing, he has a little bit of luck, obviously, and it all just came together perfectly for him on election day.
Jeb Byron, before we get to the five questions, I want to ask you, have you talked to the governor yet?
I have not spoken with Governor Greitens. I do look forward to his call.
What do you think Governor Greitens' administration will be like?
I have no frame of reference, Scott. I have to tell you, as somebody who's worked for Republican candidates for 10 years in this state, it will be a very, very sweet taste when we have a Republican governor. I do not have a good gauge as to that. I think we'll get some indications when we start to see who his transition team is, and as he starts lining up who the appointments will be to these key roles in his cabinet. But as of right now, I am eagerly awaiting the answer to that same question, Scott.
I think we had Governor Nixon on this week in Missouri Politics this week. He was very impressed with his level of aptitude and not only mostly interest in the details. It looks to me like the Republicans under Governor Greitens are set up for 90 days of probably the most historic success the party's ever had in government. It looks like there's policy initiatives Republicans have wanted for decades that they may just roll out without a lot of a fight. I wonder what happens come May, let's say come April, if the financial numbers are off. I think that can you build up enough goodwill and teamwork with some of these? I mean, it's going to be a historic winter in Jefferson City, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think you're going to see us move at a very good clip. I think we were given a strong mandate in this state. The people have spoken at this point. We were as a Republican majority in both the House and in the Senate, and then getting the governor's mansion, we were given that mandate. And I suspect you will see us move very rapidly to start achieving the items in that mandate. Speaker Richardson, in his post-election press conference, indicated the same. Now, we will do be very diligent, make sure that we remain wedded to the Constitution. We're fiscally conservative as we move, but there's a lot of big ticket items that have not gotten across the finish line that are on their way.
Well, we always want to thank the Mobile Edge podcast. We hope it's not too big a ticket item, but we're all grateful for our sponsors, the St. Louis Regional Chamber of Commerce, Carpenters Union, and the Republic Services. Let's do five questions. Let's get to know Representative Bond.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Maggie, you want to start?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to go easy on you.
I'm going to bring the heat today.
Bring it to him.
So, what was your question number one? What was your favorite class growing up in high school or college in school? What was your favorite class in school?
My favorite class in school.
You can't say gym or recess or lunch. You have to give us something substantive.
Something real.
Right.
Something substantive. I would say that my AP English 2 in high school was probably my favorite.
Okay, I would not have guessed
that. Nice little brag in there. Yeah. AP English.
Well, and it was because we got to read some of the great authors. I love Ernest Hemingway. I love the tales of people who are up against adversity and continue to fight day in and day out. And that's one of the things that really made me
Can
love
Can I stand up and clap okay, for that, that one? That wow. Might have been,
that might have been the best five question answer we've ever heard.
We did not send these questions
no,
in advance.
Yeah.
Let's be clear. There's a lot of controversy around
I thought we made these up in the elevator.
Outstanding. Okay, so you aced that one. So question number two. Do you have a nickname?
Do I have a nickname?
I guess so.
Well, to get to know me personally, one of my best friends colloquially calls me Taco Bondin because I love to eat Mexican food, and I particularly love to eat tacos. And he says when Jack gets grumpy, you give Jack a taco, it makes him happy. And so one of my best friends colloquially calls me Taco Bondin.
Well, we always call Becky Third Red and Finally Passed Lone.
Taco Bondin crushes that.
I wish I could be Third Red and Finally Passed Bondin.
Noted. I think everyone in the building is
good.
Taco Bondin. That's pretty good. Okay, moving on. Do celebrity endorsements matter?
Ooh. No, I don't think they really do. Not on a national level, I don't think they do. Now, as you localize it a little bit more, I think it may. I think a guy like Bobby Knight coming out for you in Indiana, I think that type of a celebrity endorsement matters. But that's on a more localized level. I don't think Bobby Knight coming out for you in Missouri moves the needle. But
or
I
Brad
do think,
Pitt coming out on a national level, nobody cares.
I tend to think that they don't. I think that and give the voters a whole lot more credit than that. They oftentimes will reject that celebrity endorsement.
Absolutely, absolutely. So Thanksgiving's next week. What is your favorite food? And I'm assuming you don't have tacos at the Bonin family Thanksgiving.
Well,
what's your favorite
food? No.
Yeah, feel free to say tacos if that's your answer. We want honesty. Favorite food at Thanksgiving dinner?
Favorite food at Thanksgiving dinner is certainly the turkey. I just love turkey, and then you love the turkey leftovers that you get to take home and then eat for the consecutive 3 or 4 days afterwards.
Yeah, are you a light meat or a dark meat guy?
I am a light meat guy, but I'll have a little
disagree.
Bit
of well,
I'm
disagree.
A dark meat, yeah.
I'm dark meat all the
I'm
way.
I'm dark meat, too.
All the way.
We could split a bird.
We could. That's exactly right.
Turkey tacos.
Yeah, you should come down next week, and we'll have Thanksgiving in the
56th. I love it. Okay, last question. One of my personal favorites. What's your favorite amendment in the Bill of Rights?
My favorite amendment, the first.
First.
That was going to be.
I mean, it certainly has to be. There's such wide-ranging protections, and it is the foundation upon which everything else is really built.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, I mean, maybe it's a canned, easy answer, but I think it's easy because it's the right
answer. It's the most important one. First for a reason.
I want to throw out a question. And if this is too cornball and you just say, look, fine, we're not doing that. You've won 2 elections in a competitive district. Give me the door pitch. You walk up to the Loman household, Becky answers, you're there, you're her state representative. Give me the Representative Jack Bond and door pitch.
Well,
through the knock. And then Becky answers.
Hello.
My name is Jack Bondin, and I am running to represent us in Jefferson City. I'm running to represent the people here in Belton. I am involved with our local school district on the strategic planning board. I'm a member of the Chamber of Commerce. My wife and I live here in Belton, along with our daughter. And I want to go to Jefferson City, and I want to make sure we achieve fiscal responsibility while making sure as well that we have a good constitutionally run state and that follows our Christian values, and that that we can make sure to serve the people back here at home very well.
Nice.
You got my vote.
Yeah.
You got my
vote. Let me ask you a question. I know you as somebody. I've seen you interact with some folks from your district when they've came to the Capitol. Part of the big euphoria, I assume, will be Right to Work. My assumption is it's SB1, it comes out. You have some union members in your district.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've always seen you as somebody that has policy positions but is empathetic and is not somebody that takes delight in somebody else's. Well, seen you as a positive Republican, somebody you want to be around. Not everybody in the Republican Party can make that claim. What do you say to a union person that's a little scared by Right to Work passing?
Well, I think the first thing is to let them know that our party is not the party that is after people who wake up and go to work every morning. You know, that is not the goal. The goal is to give them the protections that they deserve as a worker and to help try to grow our state and to get our state out of the economic doldrums that it has been in. You're right, Scott, and I think that we do need to have some outreach as a party as we go through this process to make sure that we are being inclusive in the ideas and trying to bring as many people on board as we can. Although I agree with you, Scott, I think it's coming right out of the chute, and I think we're going to see something very quickly.
Well, and you know what? Eric Greitens, the governor, ran on Right to Work. Many legislators ran on being pro-Right to Work. It's something that candidly was made part of the campaign, and the voters spoke their piece. Now, you'll hear other folks have other reasons, but I think that every time you give the benefit of that, you give the benefit out to the voter. It looks like this is something that happens, but I think it's an interesting thing to see here, because I think a lot of union members vote Republican. Will I sit here and tell you a lot of union leaders vote Republican? No, I don't believe that, but I think that there might be some people who are who aren't overly politically involved. They're honestly a little concerned.
Yeah, I hope and I pray and I know that I have a lot of folks back home that are union members, but that also value a lot of the ideas that we talk about in terms of protecting their Second Amendment rights, in terms of having fiscal responsibility, in terms of respecting the right to life. And they are not one single issue voters. Most of them are not. And so I do enjoy a great relationship with the folks back home who are the working men and women. And I hope to continue that.
So you won Representative Corlew's re-election seat in Clay County. You re-elected Representative Kidd in a tough district. The race wasn't that tough in the end, but that's a very tough district for Republicans. Rick Bratton won a race that was, they ran a competitive, competent challenger in Cass County. You won both the competitive Boone County seats. You won the seat in South County that's flipped with Vicki England and Chloe Brown.
Right.
You swept Jeffco, the boot heel. You even took a seat up at the Mills Mall in St. Louis. They're now north of 70 in St. Louis County. Will we see Representative Bondon active in HRCC to replicate that in 2018?
I'm committed to doing everything that I can. I've been involved in the party here in Missouri for more than a decade, and I plan to continue that and to increase in any way possible.
Been some rumors speaking of 2018. Senator McCaskill may have thought she might have been in the administration under Hillary Clinton presidency. I don't think she's going to be in a Trump administration. So if she runs again, I've heard Ann Wagner, she had some issues with supporting the president now and not. I've heard if Todd Richardson can come through and the House caucus produces things, he's the top recruit for Senate. What do you think?
I would be very, very grateful to see Speaker Richardson throw his hat into that race. I think we have an amalgam, a panoply of great candidates across this state that could run statewide for that Senate seat. And I think there are a number of them that could either beat Claire McCaskill or give her the run of her life.
I think it's interesting. Becky, what do you think of Claire McCaskill?
You know, I don't know her personally.
I like her fire. She's fiery.
Yeah, she is fiery.
I'm into that.
I like an opinionated woman, I'll tell you that much. So I don't have any issue with her. I like an opinionated woman. That's all I'm going to say.
I tell you what, I mean, we can debate her politics. There's probably not a lot of issues that... But I kind of think she goes to bat for Missouri. And I think she's a personality in an age where I think that matters. I think she'll be... if she chooses to run for re-election, I think she'll be a very tough bet. And plus... With the president's not always good. Representative Bondon, let me ask you, what do you think the House of Representatives needs to accomplish to come back with a similar majority? Gosh, 117 is amazing.
The Missouri House of Representatives.
Yeah.
I think we need to deliver on the promises that we made. I think we need to continue to pass a balanced budget ahead of schedule without raising people's taxes. I think we need to get proactive on some sort of solution for transportation. And I think that we owe it to the citizens to come up with some answers on education.
Representative Bondon, thanks so much for joining us on the Hashtag Mortgage Podcast.
Taco Bondon.
It is my pleasure, and thank you for having me.
Becky, thank you so much, and thank the Carpenters, the St. Louis Regional Chamber of Commerce, and Republic Services. We'll see you next week.
You killed it.
Well, thanks.
That one answer was legit.
I know.
That was.